You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
I can't stop it.
Oh, okay.
Can't stop the KoopaCast. We're going.
You can't stop technology. Technology will stop us.
It marches forward. And that was our intro for KoopaCast number 66. Hi, everyone. I'm your host this time around, Matt Paxton, the multimedia manager here at PNM and PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. I am joined by three extra people today. I am joined by Justin Sharp.
Hey, everyone.
I am joined by Tristan Myman. And I'm joined by Alex Stramke.
What's going on, everybody?
So enthused.
And we're so enthused today because we were talking about our the various DLC that Nintendo has put out over the year. Before we continue on with the statement, I'm going to go ahead and remind anybody who is watching that we do check for reader questions that we answer at the end of our each KoopaCast. So if you have a question, please leave a comment in our Pure Nintendo story at purenintendo.com, or you can always tweet the Twitter account Pure Nintendo or at Pure Nintendo using the hashtag KoopaCast. Now, with that out of the way, yes, we are talking about Nintendo's DLC. There's been many DLC stories as of late. Mario Kart DLC, the latest Mario Kart DLC, came out last week. It came with the free 200cc account or 200cc mode, which is, you know, even faster, you know, karts, I guess. And it also came out with the Animal Crossing pack, which included Isabella, Dry Bowser, and the male and female villager. It also came with two cups. And that was actually, did I say second pack? Because I meant third, because we can't forget the Mercedes pack that came out the first time around.
Oh, of course.
That was a shameless plug of advertisement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally forgot about that.
I never use those. I never use those cards.
Yeah.
If you want to call them that.
I would be happy to talk with Mercedes if they would like a sponsorship deal with Pure Nintendo, of course.
Oh, yeah, then sure. Everyone go drive a Mercedes, because all of our readers can totally afford Mercedes.
Listen, as long as we disclose that we have a deal with Mercedes, then, you know, we could talk up Mercedes.
Well, we'll
talk. See Mercedes, we can do that. Come on, guys.
I'm more of a Volvo kind of person myself, but.
Well, maybe we'll get a Volvo deal. So first, the Mercedes pack came out. That was one of the first DLC packs. After that was the Legend of Zelda pack, which, of course, introduced Link. And of course, two new cups into that. And then finally, Animal Crossing. And that's like a good example of Nintendo's, like, continuous support. And they kind of, like, they've already have it all kind of planned out. And they're going to release it over the course of the year. So that's their continuous support. They also did that with Hyrule Warriors, where they had four packs. They had like the Majora's Mask pack, the Twilight Princess pack, and the boss pack.
Those are your favorite.
Oh yes. Well, I haven't tried the boss pack yet, just yet. But I would love to. But so I guess we'll just start with kind of like that year-round DLC completion. Like, I wanted to say, like, is this like specifically the direction you kind of want to see Nintendo going with their DLC?
I would. I'm always up for a DLC if it warrants its purchase, and I feel like something like a new character in Smash or a new racetracks and racers and Mario Kart, I think that's definitely something that's worth going out of your way to pick up rather than, oh, here's a new skin for your character. To me, something like that, like a small cosmetic thing, that's not going to add any more to your gameplay other than like, ooh, look at that, that looks neat, but a whole new track to explore, things like that, that's something that does warrant a purchase. And even though Nintendo does throw in their subtle hints about potential future releases, because, I mean, when you look at Mario Kart, there are two F-Zero tracks. I'm just saying. Nintendo is very sneaky like that.
Yeah. I think they're doing an awesome job with DLC. I think that's one area I think most anyone can agree on, even people, who follow Nintendo more closely, or even people who are Xbox, PlayStation or PC gamers, I think they can see, just in contrast to what a lot of other companies do versus what Nintendo does with DLC, I think a lot of people would agree that Nintendo gives you a lot of bang for your buck with the DLC they've released so far. And I like what Sakurai mentioned. He said the DLC that they've done is true DLC. It's after the game has been finished and they've continued work and developed this extra content. It's not DLC to fix a broken game, to fix a game because I feel like, PC gamers and, Xbox, PlayStation, there's a lot of third parties, Ubisoft is a big offender, and, there's several that have, had their fair share of problems when they first come out at launch, and they're like, oh, here, if you have, like, the fourth patch, the game's great,
I was actually, I was chatting with some other friends about something like that. Like, it's on a side note thing, but about, like, patches. I feel like some game developers rely on that system way too much to fix a game. They're like, oh, well, the game has all these flaws, but don't worry, it'll last them about a week until we can put the patch out. When, I've noticed with, definitely praising Nintendo on this, I don't think I've ever played one of their games where it was simply, oh, now we have to wait for a patch to come out or something like that. I think the only time I experienced that maybe was when Nintendo Land first came out, but that was, fixed immediately. And since then, there have been no issues. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. That was like a little side tangent about patches.
Did anybody purchase any of the season passes, whether it was the Mario Kart DLC pass or the Hyrule Warriors DLC pass?
I purchased both of those. I was pretty happy with it because it's a one-time, purchase. If you think with the Mario Kart season pass, I think it was, $20? So you're paying about
$10. $4.99, I think.
Yeah, they had a discount if you did the season pass. It was, I think, $3, $4 off, and it actually was a good discount when you compare, here's how much they both cost if I got them separately.
That tells me how long it's been since I paid for it. It's completely out the door. But that's a great deal, and you get, a ton of extra content that breathes new life into this game. So just when you're getting, burnt out on it, it's like, oh, now you got a reason to put it back in. So you check out these new tracks and race more people online with new characters, see how they control. It does its job. It's not, oh, download this, and it will give you an extra level so you can level up your characters that should already be in the game. It'll make it easier to play through.
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest qualms with RPGs, when they have you have DLC that'll give you an extra battle. It'll make the game easier for you because it'll give you more experience or money.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, no.
That's not how it should be.
That's not cool, man.
I also like how Nintendo, specifically with Mario Kart 8, where they've basically said, hey, here's some paid downloadable content. But they're not leaving, the people who don't want to pay, the people that or can't pay. Maybe there's some kid out there that, he has Mario Kart and his parents are like, oh, we can't get to the DLC packs right now. But he got the free update for the 200cc. And now, he can replay all of those cups on 200cc. And, he'll be playing for hours and hours trying to beat those cups, those Grand Prix now.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool. Nintendo's been able to pick and choose certain things. We're like, oh, that should be free. That should just be a free update. And, we'll just make that an optional, paid DLC. I think they've done a nice job of offering that. So.
You definitely brought up a good point there, Justin, about that they're picking and choosing what's going to be paid DLC and what's going to be free content. The 200cc and the Mercedes, I believe those were both free.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're getting, if you want to get two cups or two new, like, you know, racing cups, then you need to, you know, fork over the dough there.
And that makes sense. That to me, that makes sense. It's something that's worth paying for or something. Yeah. So I'm willing to go, yeah, here's, you know, $10 for these extra tracks. That's something absolutely, you know, it makes, and it's absolutely, to me, it's worth it. It's worth, you know, forking that cash over. And I would say probably the most impressive DLC, the Nintendo release though, and what blew me away of how much, how I felt, you know, satisfied with my payment was Hyrule Warriors. I didn't think after I beat that game I was really going to find a lot of use in the DLC, but after I picked up the first one was the Master Quest pack, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, after reading Matt's review on it, I was like, all right, I'll fork over the money for it, and I did, and I was thinking, wow, I'm actually finding a lot of replayability into this. This gives me more reason to pop this into my Wii U and revisit it and, you know, actually level up my characters and grow. And yeah, like Alex said, it wasn't like, oh, here's some battles to level yourself up. It was, you know, that was there, but you got these all these other game variants in order to choose from, and then before I knew it, the other packs, like the Twilight pack, came out and had a blast of that. Same with the Majora's one, which I'm still catching myself. Actually, I need to pop that back in and go back and revisit it. And it's also great with that. You know, you also get other characters to play as who are not simple palette swaps. It's more of, oh, each of them have their own unique ability to themselves. I even found Tingle useful. There, Alex, I said it. You happy?
Yes, very. Yeah. Said I have Tingle here somewhere. I think he's hiding me on the PC.
And
another game that they did a free update recently was Smash Brothers, because they added, at least on the Wii U version, they just had a free update that I think it added like 12 new levels that have 8-player capability now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I would kind of equate that to the 200cc in the sense that they basically, you know, it's still the same content, but they've given you, you know, a little bit extra on top.
Well, exactly. I like that philosophy. Is they're giving you the stuff for free that probably doesn't take a lot of like work or effort to put in a few extra lines of code to make that work. You know, because most of the grunt work is done for that already.
Yeah. But
the stuff that does take time, like modeling the new characters and programming them, implementing them, I don't mind paying for that because it's a brand new experience and there was manpower that went into that.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I'm being nickel and dimed to death.
The biggest risk that Nintendo is taking with this season pass model is, of course, that it's a season pass. And though Nintendo's, you know, just starting out trying these, you know, these new DLC methods, we've you know, been burned by season passes before, where we kind of look at it and we're like, I don't know if it's gonna be worth that money. Do I really want to sink $20 into something that could just be, you know, an extra character, or, you know, something Alex said, where it's an extra quest to make your characters a little bit stronger. And, you know, it's, you know, super cheap, not worth your time. So it's definitely, I mean, even if it's Nintendo, who's a quality software developer, it's still kind of like a risk to say, you know, please have faith in us while we stretch out, you know, different aspects of DLC over the course of a year. You know, so, you know, give us your $20 or $25, and we promise you're still going to have good content for this game a year from now. You know, so that's still like an awful risk, I think.
Yeah, it is. You are investing a lot of faith into that company. I guess, you know, since I've been such a fan of Nintendo, they've never really steered me wrong before. Virtual Boy side.
A lot safer than like a Kickstarter or, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, but sometimes if I can, because, you know, when you go to a store and you pick up a game, they'll ask you right then and there if you want the season pass. The good thing is, though, is you have the option later on, usually now in-game, to purchase it. Mm-hmm. Depending on the title, I'll always wait, because I want to play the game first and go, wow, did I have a good time with this? And if I did, and I would, you know, pick it up and play it again in fresh file, then, yeah, chances are I'm probably going to go out and pick up that season pass. But I need to at least test out the waters first to find, is this a game that I'm really going to catch myself revisiting a lot? And something like Mario Kart, even if I'm not playing it, you know, if I'm playing it by myself, then I might have a bunch of friends over who want to, you know, play the new tracks or something.
All right. So just kind of moving on to the next Fidel DLC. We kind of hinted at it here or there, and it's just kind of like it. Actually, sorry, I was just moving stuff around there. Amateur hour over here with me. I did want to bring up what Alex talked about earlier. I was thinking about segueing, but I didn't want to cut everybody off. Talk about the season pass thing, where you were talking about, Alex, about characters like, you know, you get here, buy this DLC, and now it's easier for you to level up, and you can get more characters, and, you know, whatever, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And bad news for you if you're a fan of Xenoblade, Xenoblade Chronicles, because Monolith Soft just announced DLC for Xenoblade Chronicle X, which is, you know, just exactly what you described.
Yeah, that's what I was poking at.
So, you know, I hope you I hope that wasn't faith shattering there.
Did they release that it's just going to be characters, that's it?
It's characters, and characters will have their own, like, specific class. Like, you know, you'll get, if you complete this character's series of quests, you get, you know, you can recruit him as a character. If you get this character's quest, you get this one. Then there's, like, four characters, and there's four packs. So it's, like, the character of the quests. You can also get their skills or dolls, or whatever you want to call it. So that's in there. And then some extra weapons as well. And
what I'm saying is, there's still a hope for a hero pun in this game.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I'm hearing.
They're all human. Sorry, they're all human.
No, pretty sure there's gonna there should be a Nop on in there.
There's gonna be Ricky DLC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ricky just comes back and just wins the day.
Yeah. Or a Ricky doll. That would be amazing.
Yeah. There is a Ricky doll, but I think it's Japan only. So.
That'd be a little Ricky blush. That'd be awesome.
The pricing didn't look too bad. It said 500 yen.
Yeah, 500 yen for each pack.
Which is
like $5.
It's about, a little under $5 for if you're converting.
Yeah.
But then there were some packs that were 300 yen.
Right, those are quest-specific packs, and they can earn you different benefits, such as, like, Miranium, or money, or blueprints, or weapons, or union points, which I haven't had the full grasp of union points yet, so I couldn't tell you. I can elaborate that.
And then it said the whole thing was 2,000 yen. Which is not that much. That's like $16.8 according to current values, but usually things are inflated a little bit higher in Japan, so like the direct conversion isn't a good metric. I mean, so if it's $16.8, you know, dollars in America, it's probably going to be like $14.99 or something. Same thing with like $4.20 in America, it'll probably be like $2.99 or $3.99. You know, it'll be a little bit down from what the direct conversion is.
I feel like I got an economics lesson there.
That's just from a cursory, like, I do a lot of, like, just checking on what import prices are for games and Japanese systems. Because every now and then I'm like, hey, you know, maybe I want to, you know, import this, or, you know.
Yes, maybe I will import all of the amiibos from Japan.
Yeah, so I kept up with the prices, and for the most part, the direct translation doesn't always, it's usually just a little bit less than that when it moves to stateside.
Let me ask you, Justin, how close were you about thinking about picking up a Japanese Wii U so you could import Xenoblade Chronicles X already?
Oh, I was close, They even have a Xenoblade bundle, I think.
They do have a Xenoblade bundle. I saw pictures of that.
That's not fair, man.
Booklet and everything.
What's it look like? Is it like is it a different colored Wii U? Is it like red or something like that? Or
no, it's a black Wii U.
It's just a black Wii U, but the box looks cool.
Yeah, what you want is the art book and all the other stuff.
No, I would totally pay for the art book. Maybe in the future, Dark Horse or whatever will like invest in it and try to make an English translation of it. Yeah. I think I love collecting art books now for games.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do something.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm just going to bring us back to task real quick here.
Yeah.
How is this not task?
Because we're talking about Xenoblade X again. I think we've done that enough in the past month.
you feel like you're making this sound like it's a bad thing, bud.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
You know, like, no, I would say like cake, but there's never a bad time for cake.
Yeah. All right. And another thing I wanted to mention about the DLC launch was not only is it You know, is it 500 for the four packs, and then the three packs are 300 each, which is like 2,900 or 2,000 if you get the thing, or if you get the giant bundle. It's also released. It's also releasing on May 8th over there, which is just 10 days after Xenoblade Chronicles X launched. So, I mean, that's another curious thing, because that's not only against kind of what Alex said, but it kind of hints at, you know, something that Sakurai might have a problem with too. I'm not saying that Xenoblade X Chronicles X is not a full game, but, you know, releasing it so soon after the launch, like so soon post-launch DLC, you know, kind of does shake my faith a little bit that maybe they just couldn't get everything in that they wanted to in the original game, and that this is a quick way of making up for it.
It's a slippery slope, definitely. They need to be careful. As long as I can buy the game, and if I choose not to buy that DLC, as long as that doesn't like hinder my progress, like saying, oh, you know, I would have a much easier time completing the story of the game if I had this DLC. As long as like that's not the case, like it's like a money trap, then it'll be all right. As long as I have that option where I can play the game and enjoy it, and I don't have to buy that DLC because I don't want it.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point, Alex, that slippery slope. Like, there's so many games now. I mean, just look at the last 5 years where, you know, post-launch DLC has come out pretty quickly, like within the first couple months, or maybe even, like, patches to the game. And then, you know, come 5-6 months later, it's like, oh, here's a Game of the Year edition. You know, we have so many Game of the Year editions.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we do. Or a bundle that comes with everything.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I saw another one, like Shadow of Mordor, which I haven't finished playing through, is now getting a Game of the Year edition.
It is? Not, or it is?
It is, and it's like coming out in May or something. And the game
doesn't even announce that yet.
November, so. Anyway. So, and I think Dragon Age Inquisition is probably the same thing. It's just a way for them to like resell everything, or, you know, people who are on the fence before, hey, here's our game packaged with, you know, the patches and the stuff we've done since launch. And
here's the game complete now.
Yeah, I feel like it's like definitely, like I said earlier, relying on that whole, well, the game's out, we can still fix it, but with the magic of the internet and everything and easily downloading stuff, you know, well, no rush anymore. When, I don't know, I always think about, like, I wonder how stressful it was being a game designer, let's say back in the cartridge days or before, you know, we had internet connectivity with our consoles, where it was, if the game is not at, you know, full completion or, you know, to its standards, upon release, we're screwed. Then we have released a buggy game that no one is going to play and that will always be branded upon us.
Yep. Like E.T.
Yeah, it's like you can't exactly, you know, like send out a cartridge and then go, oh, here's the secondary cartridge to, you know, make up for that one in-game bug or something.
It's funny because a perfect example of that is we were talking about this before the cast started, was Donkey Kong 64. When that originally came out, it had a game-breaking bug that would make it randomly crash.
Oh, that's right.
They didn't know why it happened. They couldn't find out how to fix it, and the only way to fix it was to have the N64 expansion pack in it. So that's why the game was sold with that and required it, to fix that one little bug. Because even though they lost money with every, you know, card they sold of that, it would still have been cheaper to do that than to have to, like, recall all these cards. And, you know, that would have cost them millions.
Yeah. Well, I almost forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And moving on to the last bit of DLC content that Nintendo kind of goes through. It's not exactly DLC. In fact, the D is completely gone. It's just
LC?
Content, just content, yeah.
Loadable content.
And that's everybody's favorite rare figurine set, Amiibos. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a phenomenon sweeping the nation. For those,
yes, Alex. Do you know of these Amiibos? Maybe.
Never heard of one.
You might have maybe a shelf of them. You know, just.
I might.
Totally decorated and decked out.
Yes, there might be a couple videos on purenintendo.com that talk about Alex and his Amiibo experience.
And there might be another one coming in the future.
Mm.
Maybe.
Intrigue.
Oh, really? Funny, you're getting a display for all these little tiny plastic pieces of characters when that golden icon of a console that's right behind you is not its own display shelf.
Oh, it's, please.
It just sits upon a cooler.
It belongs there.
It's in the corner. It knows what it did.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's my personal headache machine.
For those days when you just want a migraine, bring out the Virtual Boy.
And so the Amiibos, we haven't really seen any kind of like substantial DLC offered with them. I mean, when you get it, put an Amiibo on with a game, it's usually something like an extra character's on the screen, or you get new abilities, or, you know, you get like a new weapon, or, you know, new items or whatever, but it's nothing like that you can't beat the game without, or like that's something like beyond like what Nintendo was offered, say, with the Hyrule Warriors pack or the Mario Kart pack, you know. I can't get, like, I guess a Shulk Amiibo and unlock all four packs for Xenoblade X. It's not going to work that way. Or it's not going to work that way yet. We don't know what the future holds for what Nintendo's going to do with their Amiibo line. But it definitely does seem to be like their newest way to deliver extra content.
I like the Amiibo. I like the way they're handling it. Because hush you. Yeah, let me explain myself. I like the fact that I can buy a figure if I want. It looks cool on my shelf. But it's nothing that I need to play the game or to finish it. It's purely like cosmetic stuff. Like I'll get, you know, the racer designs for my Mii in Mario Kart or whatever. You know, unlock some 3D character models in Xenoblade Chronicles. Stuff like that. It's purely like cosmetic. It's just there for fluff or extra content if you want it. I think it needs to stay that way.
Yeah.
At least until they can get a handle on getting these figures out to people so there aren't shortages.
Hmm.
But that's a whole nother can of worms right there.
Yeah. So kind of what you're saying is like it appeals to a collector in terms of, oh, I've got all these awesome looking figurines, and yeah, there's some a bit of, you know, yeah, you can get like a character skin or something like that. But
absolutely.
I feel like the bigger part for me on Amiibo is definitely it's a collector's thing. Like they look nice if you display them properly or something like that. But it's kind of like what we were talking about, you know, for a DLC purpose. Like I wouldn't purchase an Amiibo for its DLC abilities at all, just because to me, I wouldn't spend that much, you know, or fight someone for like some people have that much just for, you know, something as small as like a skin or something like that. Until they like sweeten the deal with Amiibo, like give me more of a reason to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I still totally see why people go get them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like what Alex mentioned as far as, you know, the Amiibo. It's nothing like, you know, unlocking big levels, you know, because I feel like people who don't want to buy Amiibo, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they're like, hey, you locked out these characters or these new levels, or, you know, what if Mario Kart levels were locked behind that and they weren't accessible to everyone, just the people who found the Amiibo. So I think they're smart in the sense that they're giving you a little bit but not too much, because they know the demand is high for them and the supply is not very good. They know not everyone's going to get them, and the content that they want to develop for it, you know, big content needs to be accessible to everybody. What yeah. I hope they do in the future is, you know, if it is like big content packs, like let's say another DLC pack for Mario Kart, I wouldn't mind if I, instead of buying the DLC pack on the eShop for $8, if they had like a new Amiibo that's like Mario Kart centric Amiibo, like maybe it has, you know, Mario in a hover cart, you know, and that was $12 or whatever the Amiibo price is now. So you pay $12 for that and you get the new DLC pack, which has two cups and three extra characters and all that. And that way you're paying just a few extra dollars, you're getting the character, but then you're also getting that content. That way it's not restricting people only to buying that Amiibo to get the content. They're still providing a way for you to do that, but if people want to get that Amiibo, you get that content too.
Well, we also have to mention the fact that they're going to be coming out with the Amiibo cards pretty soon.
Yeah.
For that new Animal Crossing game. And that's still kind of a little wishy-washy on that one, but at least it's a cheaper alternative to say like DLC, so I don't have to pay, you know, $12 a pop for a figure. At least with this, if I'm paying like $4.99 for a pack of so-and-so cards, you know, it's a cheaper alternative. But again, that's getting into dangerous territory, because with the Animal Crossing game, it seems like you need those cards in order to fully enjoy the game.
You're going to be picking those cards up, bud?
To be honest, I'm not sure about that. Yeah. I think the concept of the game is fun, being able to like design like a house, but I don't like the fact that I'm going to need like scan like a card to be able to design this person's house, or like I'm not entirely sold on that yet.
Alex, you truly don't see the message that they're trying to give. They're trying to give you the true Animal Crossing experience by Tom Nooking you into buying these cards.
It's the gotta catch it all experience is what it is.
Yeah, but they're totally Tom Nooking you saying, oh, you want to play this game? Here, pay all this money for these cards. That's the only way you can play and have fun. Mm-hmm. Tom Nooking.
Totally I guess Tom. I'm leery about the cards because at least with the figures, I have something that I can display on my shelf that still looks cool. With the cards, I'm worried that eventually it might be like forgotten. Like those Pokemon Rumble U figures that I have. I have a few of those. Those are like completely like worthless. I can't use them for anything else. And they're really teeny tiny, you know, they're not that cool to display. Whereas at least with the Amiibo, they're big enough where they look cool on a shelf. And I just fear that the cards, while it is a cheaper alternative for people to unlock that cosmetic stuff, is going to be forgotten eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Like the e-reader.
I thought you were going to mention e-reader cards, yeah.
Yeah. I bought into that craze, too.
Yeah.
But Alex, you definitely bring up a good point in that Nintendo is really going to have to do something with these cards to make people want to buy them, like, over the Amiibos. Right now, there's no, like, crossover. Like, there's not... You can buy a Marth Amiibo, or you can buy this Marth card. Like, there's nothing like that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely seems on the surface that if you had a choice between one or the other, you're going to go with the figurine. You're not going to go with a card, because a card could easily be, like, you know, lost, put in a corner somewhere. Like, you're not going to show off your pack of cards to your friend. You're going to show off your Amiibo figures. That's what you're going to put on the stand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it might be worth it to Nintendo to, you know, purchase or, like, to either, like, increase, like, what Justin was talking about, like, increase what you can get with the Amiibo. You're like, you can buy the DLC with the Amiibo, but also, you know, make sure you have that offer online.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
That you're gonna. It seems like there's going to be, like, a lot of, like, things you'd have to balance just to have the cards exist in the same plane as the Amiibos. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, you know. Like, how do you do it without making the customer feel like nickel and dime to death? Because that's how I felt when they announced that new Animal Crossing game. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because we haven't gotten enough details yet. That's I'm thinking, like, why should I buy these cards just to do one tiny action within the game? To me that seems a little. Like, that's not worth it. That feels like nickel and diming. Like, the game isn't complete. I have to buy these cards to get all the characters to design for. Maybe we'll know more when the game is released, but for now, I don't think that's the right direction DLC with Nintendo should go.
Right. Now, for now, you don't want to get Tom Nooked.
No, I don't want to get Tom Nooked.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I also think we do definitely need to see much more of this newest Animal Crossing. Was it Happy Home Decoration?
Designer.
Happy Home Designer. Because, I mean, I haven't seen much of it outside of that just initial Nintendo Direct announcement. And then, yeah, they did highly emphasize the card, so I'm hoping we're going to see a little bit more, and then Nintendo isn't going to go down that, you know, down that path of we need to buy these extra physical things in order to get the full experience of Animal Crossing.
That's what I like about Nintendo. They don't really have to do that with games. Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, you have to buy this DLC. It's always more of a take it if you want.
Sorry, guys. I working hard, working hard. That's why I'm yawning, I swear. And I'm just gonna move on
to. If there's something you want to tell us, man, I mean that if our opinions are absolutely boring to you, I mean just be a man. Go and say it.
Of course not. I value everybody's input, and you all make me so very entertained.
Even mine?
Anyway, here's the reader questions that we've got going on right here.
Sweet.
Sounds like someone's avoiding the question there.
Somebody's got a comment. I think that's what you're trying to say. And this one comes from a user called Sunny Leafs, and they write, speaking of DLC, what does everyone think of the 200cc in Mario Kart 8? To be honest, I'm not a big fan. The tracks weren't designed around that much speed, so it feels kind of broken. You often have to play conservatively by skipping boost just to stay on course. It's fun, but I prefer 150cc.
I'm kind of halfway with that one because I was playing some of it and I did Baby Park, which, if you all know, it's just an oval. That's all it is. The one thing I love about doing that kart, because I don't know if you guys ever did this, but me and my brother always had a little contest. Like, I beat my record by 1 second, so I would do it, beat his by 1 second, and then we just keep doing that. But on 200cc, the second you make a turn, you immediately have to, like, hold down the brakes just to get ready for the next turn. It's a little bit – I can definitely see where it does feel like it's a little bit broken, but in a sense, it kind of adds a bit more to the gameplay of, okay, so now it can actually be detrimental when it comes to actually hitting a boost pad. So sometimes you have to, you know, watch out for them. It kind of like, you know, mixes things up a bit. Kind of like when you went to zero G mode, how it actually was a good thing if you bumped into another racer so you could spin around and get a boost. Kind of, you know, mixes things up a little bit.
Yeah, I like it. It changes the gameplay quite a bit because you have to be more strategic. I was playing on Neo Bowser City on 200cc. My goodness, what a mess. Yeah, well, like, there's so many, like, hairpin turns in that level, and, like, there's one where it's like a hairpin, but it's more like a paperclip, you know? And then like, a paperclip to the left, and then it goes into, like...
It seemed more like a staple to me.
Yeah, there's another one that's more, like, alien headlight, like this. And, that was just nuts. Kind of
like, are you getting, like, Rorschach paintings when you see these tracks? So what does this track look like to you? Describe in a word how this makes you feel. Yeah. Anger. Yes, Rainbow Road, it does that to everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely feels, I don't know if broken's the right word, but it definitely...
It turns into a more technical race, kind of like the way the F-Zero games are. Those games are all about, like, proper, like, brake and drifting techniques. And Mario Kart in general is usually more accessible. So I can see how, like, it would be frustrating and it would feel broken that way. I think if you practice with it, you'll get better at it.
Absolutely, I think so, too. And it's funny you mentioned F-Zero because, F-Zero-like elements, two F-Zero tracks, and one F-Zero kart. Nintendo, what are you planning?
Obviously, another Star Fox game.
Yeah, man.
I just want to see our moves.
Hoping for a Star Fox track on this one, like a Star Fox themed racetrack or something like that.
Yeah, can you imagine an asteroid belt Mario Kart track?
Yeah,
how cool that would be.
That would be pretty awesome.
I hope Nintendo's listening.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? I'm sure they always tune into us.
Of course.
What if the tracks in a future Mario Kart were destructible or, like, augmented? Like, you know, there could be, like, meteors or something that comes down, like, smashes one area, and then one area opens up for you to go around.
That would be cool.
What if they added a new feature in the next Mario Kart where you could actually slap the person that sent that blue shell at you? You can actually hit a button and it bops them in the head.
No, those are the people you need to watch out for. The people you need to watch out for now are those ones that have the little air horn, and they just stop at the finish line with the last lap just to take you down.
Oh, yeah.
Just to let your defeat sting that much more.
I think still the worst wipeout for Mario Kart, my least favorite, about to cross the track, red shell, I flop over, and I'm like, man, my character's flying around, and then everyone just zooms right by me, and I'm in seventh place. I was in first, now I'm in seventh. What the hell?
soul crushing. I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah, I had a pretty soul crushing experience in 200cc last night on Neo Bowser City. I was drifting around that last turn before you go up that jump boost to the finish line. And I was in third place. The first and second guys were right there. I could see them. And a blue shell goes by me, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, for a moment, I'm thinking, hey, I'm the luckiest person ever. The blue shell just missed me. And then it hits the guy in first, right? But he's just far enough ahead where it blows up and it doesn't affect my path at all.
Uh-huh.
Problem is, that guy in second apparently got, like, a green shell at the last thing. Shoots it backwards, right as we're, like, drifting around.
Oh, no.
We end up, like, in sixth or seventh, but I was just like, ah.
Oh, no.
But, like, you know, what could have been, like, an awesome opportunity, like, just drifting around there, could probably pass the guy in second. The blue shell misses me. It's not to be.
That's why, to me, there's really no skill in Mario Kart, because even the skillful racer, it can all go to crap, and all it takes is one shell and one banana peel.
So I think Double Dash was my soul-crushing game. I don't know why, of all the Mario Karts, I found that one the most difficult. It's also the one I've loved the most, but, like, man. I feel like once I'm done, my butt's been kicked.
I still think Super Mario Kart's the most difficult of them all. You try learning how to drift on that one, it's my god.
Yeah, and you have to know how to drift in that one.
Yeah.
You can't get away with, like, the nonsense that you got away with any of the other titles. You just have to do it. It's not even, like, after the first course, you could maybe get away with not drifting, but in the second cup, you have to know how to drift.
Oh, that's another soul-crushing one for me, too. The first time I played that with my friend, never played it before, and, you know, he was an expert at it. So he's like, oh, let's do battle mode. It's like, okay, that sounds like fun. He gets the feather power up and uses the jump over the boundaries, and then just sits there and picks me off with shells, and there's nothing I can do.
Oh, I can't. I have to laugh because me and my brother did that to each other all the time.
Or like, why are you doing this? I can't. I can't defend myself.
Hopping and see how far we could get. Like, try to find the like the pit or like the never ending wall.
You know what they need to do? I saw someone posted like a thread on NeoGAF a week or so ago. Now the Animal Crossing DLC pack is out. People are like, you know, what do they do with Mario Kart now? You know, what could they improve with it? And while definitely they've added a lot of improvements since it launched and a lot of cool content, the battle mode is still something that they could easily.
Yeah.
Miss
arenas.
And well, I mean, think about like some of the arenas that they have. They're pretty two-dimensional. You know, you have this new gameplay element of going upside down or going on walls and all of this stuff. And for the most part, there's like maybe one or two of those eight levels in battle mode that actually let you do that. I mean, think about like maybe like you're inside like a cube or something, and you're, you know, like some new block city that's, you know, these, you know, the inside of a Dyson sphere or something. I don't know.
We need a reimagined block fort from the Nintendo 64.
Oh yes,
because that was the most perfect.
Awesome.
That or Skyscraper. Skyscraper was my jam.
Yeah, Skyscraper was cool, too.
I mean, just like all the ricochets the shells could have.
Dude, so much chaos. I loved it.
So, to me, like, the battle mode, if they did, like, a DLC pack, just battle mode, like, later this year, that would make Mario Kart 8 pretty high up on all-time Mario Kart.
Totally agree with that. Nintendo, you need to get on it.
Yep. Battle mode, DLC pack. Is next. Come on.
All right. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up today's CoopaCast. And so I want to thank our reader, Sunny Lees, for writing in. If you have a question that you would like to submit to our podcast, you can always leave a comment in any of our podcast posts that we post. So say in 2 weeks, we come back with CoopaCast number 67. You say, hey, I want to make a comment about this. I want them to talk about this. Well, just write it below. We'll see. We'll do our best at the end of every show to answer your questions. If you have another question and you can't reach this site for whatever reason, you can always tweet us. Our Pure Nintendo accounts at Pure Nintendo using the hashtag KoopaCast. I've got my tablet right here, and I'm always keeping an eye on Twitter during every podcast to see any questions who come up. So don't worry, we won't snub anybody. So, you know, don't be shy, step right up. And now I'd like to thank Tristan, Justin, and Alex for joining me for another KoopaCast. Thank you all.
Always a pleasure.
Always fun.
And of course, I would like to thank our readers for, again, and our listeners for reading our magazine and listening to our podcast and listening to us drone on about Nintendo subjects.
And Xenoblade.
And Xenoblade. It's become the new Super Metroid. And so, and without further ado, we will see you all in 2 weeks with another KoopaCast. Take care, folks.
Take care, everyone. Where's my banner?